Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 28th day of April 2020. And first of all, let me start off this program by thanking all of you again from the depths of my heart for praying for my oldest brother, John, in Justin, Texas. John, as many of you heard when I called out for a prayer from my listeners, he has critical stage emphysema, and once again was recently rushed to the hospital, and the circumstances look very grave indeed. And his wife and one of his daughters, Jan and Regina, did not expect him to be leaving the hospital this time. Well, I just heard word from my brother John via a text that the doctors want to discharge him today. And he doesn't want to go yet, so pray that the right decision is made. I don't want him to be going home if it's a premature thing, as he fears. But I am just so thrilled that the Lord has done a work of healing in his life, at least enough to have the doctors believe that he may be discharged. And I thank you for the renewed interest in spiritual matters that has entered into my brother's heart and mind. And I can't thank all of you enough for praying for him and for the flood of emails and texts and private messages that have been coming in, where people have been affirming that they are praying for him and asking for updates and so on. And forgive me if I'm stammering here and not speaking articulately, but I just am very overwhelmed by the whole situation. And I am truly thankful to our merciful and gracious and sovereign God. And I would request that you continue to pray for him and that he regains even more strength and health and keeps looking to Jesus Christ. And a very key figure in this whole circumstance, one of my chief prayer warriors in the midst of all of this, is my dear friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is my guest today. He is an author, conference speaker, and pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, not far at all from where my brother lives. And today we are going to be addressing a theme that is not disconnected from these circumstances involving my brother, and that theme is the importance of corporate prayer in the life of the church. And we're also going to be giving you the great news about the upcoming Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mac Tomlinson.
Good afternoon, Chris. It's always a blessing to be with you.
It's always a blessing to have you on the program, and I am so grateful to God that our mutual friend Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, is the one who initially put me in contact with you a number of years ago, and I am thankful to God for him, for being the instrument that brought us together, brother.
Well, any friend of Michael Gaidosh is a friend of mine.
Amen.
So I love him and his ministry over the years. So the Lord's providence brings people together.
Amen. Well, I'm going to immediately give our listeners our email address if they have questions on the importance of corporate prayer in the life of the church. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before we go into the specific theme at hand, Pastor Mac, if you could, as I always have our guests do, remind our listeners, or for those of my listeners hearing you for the first time, introduce those listeners to Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas.
Yes, Denton is in North Texas, 30 miles north of Dallas and Fort Worth, about 30 miles south of the Oklahoma state line. So we're in the north quarter of the greater Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, a university town of about 120,000. Providence Chapel, we're a Reformed Baptist congregation of about 200 and growing, approximately. And, of course, we, like most churches, are meeting by Zoom only right now, but the church life has been a blessing. The prayer meetings continue, even by Zoom. We have 5 prayer meetings each Wednesday by Zoom, the congregation divided up. So we're continuing to seek to advance the kingdom and advance the gospel right here, as all of God's people are across the nation right now in these perilous times.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, go to Providence Denton, and that's DENTON.org, ProvidenceDenton.org, and hopefully I will remember to repeat that later on. Now, please let us know the exciting news about your annual Fellowship Conference New England, the next of which is scheduled for August 6th through the 8th at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine.
Yes, well, Lord willing, we'll be there if we live, as James says in his epistle, and if the coronavirus doesn't revive again in the summer. We hope that it'll continue to decline, but the annual Fellowship Conference New England is there in Portland, Maine, and it has grown every year. We're on our 7th or 8th, I don't remember exactly. And it draws believers from as far south as Pennsylvania and New York, New York City, all over the New England states and up into Canada. So it's always the first Thursday, Friday, Saturday of August. You have to register for it, so you can find the Fellowship Conference website, Fellowship Conference New England. This year, we will have the privilege, God willing, of having as the principal speakers Dr. Joel Beakey from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's not a stranger to many of the listeners on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Yes, he's been a friend of mine since the 1990s, and I was actually instrumental in having him launch his very first radio program.
Well, he's a dear man and a profound theologian, a pastor with a great heart. So Dr. Beakey will speak several times. And then Dr. Jeffrey Thomas, the former Welsh pastor in Aberystwyth, Wales, at Alfred Place Baptist Church, who was on Iron Sharpens Iron, I think, last week.
And he's coming back on again in June, and I just love interviewing that brother. What a joy to interview him.
Yeah, so Dr. Beakey and Dr. Jeff Thomas are two of the, in my opinion, two of the greatest preachers alive today. They have profound love for Christ and his church. They're humble men, godly men. So if there was a conference to come to in the summer to in New England area, those men are worth planning a trip to Portland, Maine area. You could see some of the New England coast and enjoy three special days at the Fellowship Conference New England.
Great. And for those of you who are interested in attending that, and whether you are already interested or not, you should go to the website anyway, because you might become interested in it. That is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And as I said, it is scheduled for August 6th through the 8th, 2020, at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And I intend to be there, God willing. It will be my first time in Maine, and it will require prayer from my listeners and loved ones, because it's going to be a bittersweet time visiting Maine for the first time, because my precious late wife, Julie, always wanted to go on a vacation with me to Maine, and we never made it there before she entered into glory. Now, I know that eternity with Christ is infinitely better than Maine, but it still is, I know, going to have a... The enjoyment will be tainted with sadness, just because of the fact that she really wanted to go there with me, but I trust that the Lord will bless me with a wonderful time nonetheless, in spite of any sadness I may feel. But I am really looking forward to that. And both of those men are extraordinary speakers, and are among my very favorite speakers in the church. So try to make it there if you can. And now let's enter into the theme at hand, the importance of corporate prayer in the life of the church. And just so our listeners are clear on what you mean, can you explain what is corporate prayer?
Yes. Well, we know that private, personal prayer is a priority in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, believers are told to pray, to seek the Lord, to learn to pray, to give themselves to private prayer. But corporate prayer has to do with a local church praying together, a local church having times that they corporately, as a body, have stated specific times of prayer. A true church prayer meeting, in other words, is what I mean by corporate prayer.
And even though this is an attempt at a temporary substitute, do you think what we have been experiencing during this coronavirus scare, where many of us have been involved in corporate prayer meetings, so-called, via the internet, is that really corporate prayer, even though I know that there are good intentions and motives for doing it this way, especially in some cases where the law requires it, but is it really a substitute or an adequate representation of corporate prayer?
Well, not in the long run, not in normative times, of course. I can only speak for our church. We've had marvelous prayer meetings by Zoom over the past weeks. We have five prayer meetings each Wednesday night, and five pastoring elders, one of them leads each prayer meeting, and they've been warm and marvelous and rich, and we pray for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes consistently together. So, obviously, that's not the normative in the church. The norm would be to be together like they were in the book of Acts. And so normally churches should have true prayer meetings when they're meeting sometime during the week. So, yes, this works now, but it's not the permanent answer.
Well, what was the motivation for you today to want this to be our central theme?
Well, I'll just stop sharing, Chris. You can stop me, interrupt me at any point, because I don't, you know, you're the one that leads the program so wonderfully. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago in one of our prayer meetings, I said to some of our members, isn't it striking that probably the Lord has the undivided serious attention of every Christian in the world simultaneously right now because of the virus? And he has the attention, the more serious attention of every true biblical church. But what does that attention draw churches right now to do? Probably not. It probably doesn't make them say, hey, let's study the Heidelberg Catechism. No. When the heat's on, when the church is in the furnace of affliction, and we're not in affliction, but these are urgent times, what becomes real is for Christians to pray. Church leaders call the body of Christ to more serious prayer. So today I want to bring in kind of an honest evaluation from my opinion about the normal life of American evangelical churches and Reformed churches. Because if we're honest, we have organization, technology, we have good creeds and confessions, good church polity, and especially Reformed churches have good doctrine, biblical membership, reverent worship, the sacraments, and church discipline. But I think something is still missing widely, and that's what I want to address today. And some things that I'm going to say may make some leaders feel uncomfortable. It may be challenging. But I think my thesis is pretty much unarguable, because what I want to address is the weakness of the American church in terms of the prayer meeting. Now, this is something objective and documentable, because either your church and my church has a true prayer meeting or it does not. Either this is present in evangelical churches or it's absent. So the issue I want to address is the prayer meeting, which in my opinion makes a church to be truly biblical or not truly biblical. Any church with a good doctrinal confession, with good preaching, ordinances, and church discipline, if they're missing having a true prayer meeting, my question would be, are they fully Reformed or fully biblical? Because you find this so central in the New Testament, a true prayer meeting. And it's my conviction that corporate prayer is the most absent thing in the American evangelical church, or at least it's the weakest aspect. Even in, and maybe especially in, Reformed churches, because I know personally non-Reformed churches, evangelical churches, that do have quality church prayer meetings. But I know Reformed churches that have poor prayer meetings or no prayer meetings. So we should think, why is prayer in the church so neglected? And I think the bottom line answer is, because it's so hard to do. It's so easy to listen to great preaching. It's so easy to love to sing the great hymns of the faith. It's so easy to study theology or to have a wonderful Bible class. But prayer is hard work, and it brings us open before God, where we have to be honest and we have to be before Him with repentance and faith and dependence. So I hope if pastors and elders and church leaders are listening today, I'd like to really just ask some very honest questions about this. And my goal is to encourage them to trust the Lord to strengthen their prayer meetings, or if they don't have one, to go back to the New Testament and just to be honest and say, how much is prayer in the local church really in the New Testament? E. M. Bounds, the great man of prayer in the 19th century, said the primary need in the church is not men of money or men of brains, but men of prayer. And I think that's very applicable to today.
Yeah, especially in the Reformed Church, we would tend to gravitate towards the men with brains, right?
Right. But Matthew Henry, the great Puritan, said, and this applies to the individual Christian and to a church, prayer time must be kept up just as much as meal time. Well, when we go worship on the Lord's Day and we're fed the Word of God and we're built up by corporate worship, we are keeping up the spiritual meal time. But are we keeping up regularly a prayer time within the body of Christ? So here's some pointed questions I've thought about that I wrote. I didn't find them anywhere. But I think every pastor who wants his church to be biblical, every elder, every deacon, every faithful member of a biblical church should ask themselves these questions or try to answer them. Does your church have a true prayer meeting, weekly or regularly? How often, if ever, is there a church meeting that is given not to Bible study only, but to prayer, where the church leaders and the members pray for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or 60 minutes? Is your church a house of prayer? Is my church known as a praying church? Do our churches have a history of remarkable answers to prayer? And is there anything about our church that can only be attributed to the power of prayer? I think these are searching questions, and they leave us at the place where we have to answer the question, is my church truly biblical by being a praying church or not? Is prayer the weakest thing in my church, or is it real? Because a Christian that is not regularly attending a prayer meeting is not a biblical Christian. And a church without a real prayer meeting consistently is not a truly biblically reformed church. Now, those kind of statements can make pastors like me uncomfortable to face that. But if we're endeavoring to be biblical, let's really be honest. Corporate prayer is probably the weakest thing in many of our churches, or it's non-existent. So if prayer isn't central in the life of the church, there's problems according to the standards of the New Testament, I believe.
Well, we do already. We have a listener question for you already.
Sure.
It's an anonymous listener, and the anonymous listener says, please don't think I am being rude at all. I am just very curious and want to hear the answer to your question. How do you respond to one that may say you are attempting to bind upon the consciences of Christians something that is not specifically and clearly biblical in the sense of a separate day for a prayer meeting? Now, I know that the scriptures teach that we are to be committed to prayer, but if a church should choose to just have a time of prayer during their regular Sunday worship service, would that not suffice? And I'm not arguing for this point as if this is my position that I adamantly hold to. I am just curious how you would answer that charge that might be brought against you.
Well, that is a great question, and it kind of leads right into the next things I wanted to say somewhat. Obviously, I'm not saying that the Bible would call for a certain whole day regularly of prayer. I'm not trying to argue that minutely, but when you go to the Old Testament, they did have called sacred or solemn assemblies for prayer. The biblical case for corporate prayer should not be confused with personal, private prayer. There's no prescription given even for private prayer in the New Testament, except Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. But even a basic perusal of Old and New Testament reveals corporate prayer both as descriptive and prescriptive. For instance, Exodus 3:9, you see the example there where Moses wrote, now therefore the cry of the children of Israel has come up before me. Deuteronomy 26:7 says the same thing in a way. Then we cried out to the Lord God, and the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction. The prophet Joel in chapter 1 calls for this. He says, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders together and cry out to the Lord.
Well, thank you, Anonymous, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program. And if you are a first-time questioner, give me your full name and mailing address, because we will have CVBBS, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship you out a brand new New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of CVBBS.com, who will be shipping that out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, we're going to go to our very first break right now. And once again, if anybody else would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Mac Tomlinson and our discussion on corporate prayer.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to further ensure that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has a long future ahead of us, because we depend upon solid-ground-books.com for our very existence. They are a very primary financial sponsor of this program. And not only that, I don't want that to be the only reason in your mind. They also happen to have the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. And you know you could order with peace of mind, knowing that the material, the books that you purchase, are theologically sound and trustworthy. And I'm sure that my guest today, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, can heartily affirm that. Am I not right, Pastor Mac?
Absolutely. I heartily affirm that.
Yes, and as you may have heard in the beginning of the program, Pastor Mac Tomlinson was the very person who introduced, or should I say, I'm getting it backwards, Mike Gaidosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, was the very one who introduced me to Pastor Mac Tomlinson a number of years ago, and we have remained friends ever since, and he has become one of my favorite guests here on this program, and has also turned out to be a very generous financial supporter of this program as well. And I thank God for your friendship, Pastor Mack, and look forward to continuing our discussion here today.
Very good.
Well, if you want to pick up where you left off.
Yeah, the question the caller had earlier was a tremendous question, because people can begin to think, you know, if we say certain things should be done because we see them generally in the Bible, people can begin to cry, isn't that legalism? You're putting law on the church. And my answer would be as follows. I already referenced those Old Testament examples that are really both, I think, descriptive and prescriptive. But you go to the New Testament and you see the same thing. You see this habit and practice of the church praying together regularly, I guess in what you'd call planned times of prayer. And you also see, apparently, special called prayer meetings for urgent situations. For instance, Acts 12, Peter's in prison. They've already killed James. And Herod takes Peter because he saw it pleased the Jews. But Acts 12 says, but the church prayed earnestly unto God for Peter. And we know the rest of the story. They were in a prayer meeting for Peter, crying out to God. And the Lord sent the angel, brought Peter to the prayer meeting, and it shocked them that he walks into the prayer meeting. So we see times of special prayer meetings for urgent needs, and we know believers have done that all through history. But so when you go to the New Testament, let's just think about some body of work in the New Testament that reflects this. And Chris, you can interrupt me anytime you desire or need to, or if you have a question that comes in. Think about Luke's gospel. Someone has called Luke's gospel the gospel of prayer, because it states when Jesus at his baptism that he was praying when he was baptized, when the Spirit descended. Luke mentions Jesus' private prayer life more than any other gospel. And Luke chapter 11 and Luke 18, almost a good portion of those two chapters show the great importance of importunate prayer. And the disciples came to Jesus, of course, and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives the model prayer. So you have, the early church, examples of corporate prayer meetings. The book of Acts has at least 13 or 14 specific examples of the believers praying together. Acts chapter 1, Acts 2, chapter 4, chapter 6, 12 and 13, chapter 16, chapter 20 and 28. All through the book of Acts, the believers were gathering to pray. Then you get on into the epistles, just a couple more references, just to drive home this point that this picture of corporate prayer is not legalism. It's biblically exemplified for us, and it is prescriptive also. And I'll mention that right now. 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul said to the Corinthians, you also helping together in prayer for us. Can any of us imagine those early churches not being prayerful churches, not having stated times, whether it was on the Lord's Day morning, not just a pastoral prayer, but they prayed together. Colossians 4:2, in the good old New American Standard, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, staying alert in it with thanksgiving. Well, how can a church devote itself to prayer regularly if they don't pray together regularly? So I then think of Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He certainly says to the church, and no one would say this isn't prescriptive, for the whole church of all the ages. Paul says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Just to quickly have you clarify something, you have repeated the word prescriptive, and I just wanted you to clarify the meaning of that to the listeners. I have been of the opinion that that means that it is the will of God that is actually in the form of a command in writing, in some sense, as opposed to the decreed will of God, which is all things that come to pass because he has ordained them.
Right. Well, that's a good question. Descriptive means, in the Bible you see examples of the church praying. That's a description that they did it together. But
which doesn't mean that you necessarily automatically have to follow that example, if it's just a descriptive alone.
Right, right. But the New Testament turns those examples into commands in different places. For instance, me and everyone ought to lift up holy hands in faith, without doubting, praying. The verse I just quoted, Colossians 4:2, Paul makes it prescriptive. Devote yourselves to prayer, staying alert in it. And so the example of churches in the New Testament that truly prayed, if we have a heart for the Lord and the kingdom, and if we have a prayerful heart, why would we not take those examples and follow them in our own churches, in our own way, to apply that to the life, the prayer life of the church. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you could pick up where you left off there. I'm sorry if I lost your trail of thought, but I thought that was an important clarification to make, because I have been lovingly and sometimes not so lovingly rebuked on this program from listeners, because they say that sometimes we take for granted that our listeners understand words and phrases that we use that may be not necessarily of the understanding of especially new believers.
Right, that's a very good point. Well, just to peruse the Old Testament body of work and the New Testament examples and commands, we do see that the church corporately praying with reality, with consistency. But then you move into church history, and the same thing surfaces. Let's say, for instance, in the 18th century, probably the end of the 17th century, it would have been, Jonathan Edwards' grandfather, Solomon Stoddard, who pastored the church in Northampton for, I think, at least 50 years before Jonathan Edwards, his grandson, did. Solomon Stoddard called, during his ministry, those 5 decades, he called 5 different times for seasons of concentrated prayer by his church, and called specific prayer meetings. And history records that Stoddard saw 5 distinct periods of revival come to his area over those 50 years. So,
wow. But by the way, are you familiar with the Banner of Truth book, The Power of Prayer, that chronicles a New York City revival at a congregation that was in the Dutch Reform denomination? It started out with just a handful of people having a prayer meeting during the week, actually, and it grew into a massive thing that caught on, and it was being imitated all over the city, and there was a revival that broke out. Have you heard of that book?
Oh, yes. I love that book, but that was the very next thing in history I was actually going to mention. You beat me to it.
Oh, really?
yeah. It's called the Prayer Revival of 1857-58, that there had been an economic collapse in the Northeast, I think in the 40s and the 50s, 1850s, and there was a city missionary. Basically, he was what churches today would call a staff evangelist, but they were called city missionaries, Jeremiah Lamphere, with the North Reformed Dutch Church on Fulton Street in New York City, which actually the location is very near to the Ground Zero Memorial Museum in Manhattan. Lamphere had a burden to begin a noon prayer meeting for businessmen, and he posted flyers and mentioned it, and they spread the word. The first day, he was the only one that was there initially, and then two people came in. The next day, there was a few more. Long story short, by the end of the summer, there were 50,000 people praying at noon in buildings all over New York City, and it spread like a prairie fire. In fact, I published a book, perhaps the best modern book on this revival, by Dr. Roy Fish. And if readers want to contact me for that book, it's a full account of that revival, and I would offer to them the book for 50% off if anyone's interested in it.
It's called
When Heaven Touched Earth, The Awakening of 1858.
Wow.
But the point is, that revival, God answered in great power, and it spread across the country, but it was directly an answer to corporate prayer.
And unfortunately, isn't it a tragedy that denomination, the specific church, if my memory serves me right, was one of the marble collegiate churches, with the Dutch Reformed Church named some of their congregations, that eventually became the RCA, the Reformed Church in America. It's such a tragedy that a great revival could come out of that denomination, and yet today it is nearly, not 100%, but nearly completely barren of true biblical teaching and gospel truth. And I don't know.
I don't know
if Norman Vincent Peale was the first to turn that denomination around for the worse and bring it into decline with his power of positive thinking heresies. But it's just a shame whenever I think about it.
Yes.
And in addition to the book that that Mac promoted there, and we will give you Mac's information again to contact him for that. Don't forget that you could also get The Power of Prayer, The New York Revival of 1858 by Samuel Prime, and you could get that at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com, and ask for that Banner of Truth book, The Power of Prayer by Samuel Prime. And we actually have to go to our midway break right now, Pastor Mac. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please be patient with us. This is, once again, our longer-than-normal break, the midway break in our show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this middle break for them to air their own local public service announcements, because according to the FCC, they have to localize their programming to Lake City, Florida. So while they air their own public service announcements and other things that are local to Lake City, Florida, we air our globally heard commercials. And I would, in addition to writing questions to Pastor Mac Tomlinson on the subject of corporate prayer, I would urge you to please also write down the information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently patronize them and more successfully patronize them. Because remember, folks, I know that many of you are annoyed by the number of ads that we air, but we cannot survive without these advertisements. We do not have nearly enough donations coming in to exist without the corporate support of advertisers that keep us going, and that would also include churches and non-profit organizations and so on. Please, even if you can't purchase anything from them, and if it might be a church, for instance, that's so far away from you, you doubt you'll be able to visit that church, could you please contact them and just thank them for keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their advertising? But once again, our email address, if you want to send in a question for Mac Tomlinson on corporate prayer, that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Mac Tomlinson and corporate prayer.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco.
Den is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron, with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi. I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can call cvbbs.com if you prefer ordering by phone at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And remember, only call that number between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. It's the only times and the only days that someone is manning that phone line and there is no voicemail. That's 800-656-0231. Please always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And one more request, since CVBBS.com is a book distributor offering books by many of the finest Christian publishers, and our other advertiser that's book-related who sponsors the show is Solid Ground Christian Books, I urge you to first go to solid-ground-books.com, make a long list of books that they publish, and then go to cvbbs.com and include books by Solid Ground Christian Books when you're placing your order. This way you're killing two birds with one stone and making both of our book-related advertisers happy. If you purchase books from Solid Ground Christian Books from cvbbs.com, please still make sure that you tell the folks at Solid Ground Christian Books and CVBBS that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Mac Tomlinson and our discussion today on the importance of corporate prayer, I have just a few announcements to make that are very important. First of all, tomorrow, Michael Hammer joins us for the very first time tomorrow. That's Thursday, the 30th of April. He is a Jewish believer, and we're going to hear his testimony of salvation and also how he came to embrace the doctrines of Reformed theology, a.k.a. Calvinism, a.k.a. the doctrines of sovereign grace, which places Jewish believers in a very tiny minority in that theological camp for some reason. And he is going to explain why he found that to be the most consistently biblical system of theology and why he lovingly embraced these teachings by God's sovereign grace. And so make sure you tune in tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And then on Friday, we have Joe Jackowitz, pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California, returning for his weekly coronavirus update, followed by biblical application on how we as Christians are to respond to this pandemic. And I also want to remind you about something that I mentioned earlier on in the program. Coming up in August, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, my guest today, is hosting the Fellowship Conference New England, which is an annual event that he holds. He has at least two of these events, I believe one in Texas, and the other one that I'm mentioning now is in Portland, Maine. Obviously, the other Fellowship Conference would not be New England, but this one is at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. August 6th through the 8th, Fellowship Conference, New England, featuring Dr. Joel Beakey and Reverend Jeff Thomas, two of the finest expositors of the Scriptures alive today. And if you want more details on that, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Last but not least, folks, if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you could also, if you prefer snail mail, mail in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that will appear on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I am really urging you, if you do value this show greatly and you really don't want it to disappear, to please help us financially. We have at least temporarily lost two of our largest sources of financial support because of the coronavirus hysteria, which has seriously damaged the two businesses involved that these advertisers own and operate. So please help us make up for that loss. We were already on shaky ground financially before that happened, and that has really put us in a scary situation. So please, if you do value this show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what we believe, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We truly could use urgently your advertising dollars. Please, as I try to remember to tell you every day, especially during this time when a lot of churches are hurting financially due to the banning of public gatherings, which seems to be slowly easing up. But please, knowing that your churches are hurting financially, please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. And don't put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because those two things are commands of God, providing for church and family. Providing for my radio show might not be a command of God, but if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, especially if you have money, extra money, sitting around gathering interest that you normally use for recreational purposes that you couldn't participate in lately due to the ban on public gatherings, for like sporting events, like concerts, like fine dining, Bible conferences, like theatrical performances, and I could go on and on with things that you may have used your money for. Well, I would be more than happy to take as much of your recreational budget as you want to share with us in order to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio going. So please keep that in mind. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And remember, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, please rectify that situation. Please send me an email if you need help finding a church. Send the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, including Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, that you can visit and hopefully join. Or if you are doing so, if you're contacting me to recommend a church to a loved one who is in a certain part of the world where they are unaware of a local Bible-believing church, well, I can possibly help you no matter where you or your loved ones live on the planet. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question for Pastor Mac Tomlinson. We are discussing corporate prayer. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And Pastor Mac, we normally only give the first name and city and state or country of a listener when they send in a question. But when a pastor of a biblically sound church sends in a question, I like to give them a little plug whenever possible. And this is somebody that you know. He says, tell Brother Mac his boy Anthony is tuning in. And that's Anthony Quagliata, pastor of Christ Fellowship in Patchogue, Long Island, New York. And by the way, folks, if you want to look up that congregation on the internet, the website is ChristFellowshipLI, standing for Long Island, .com. ChristFellowshipLI.com. Pastor Anthony Quagliata says, why does there seem to be a lack of stress of prayer meetings today among those who go by the label Reformed, when there are such rich examples of the Reformed forefathers who stressed it?
Well, it's a great and important question, Anthony. Thanks for tuning in. I don't have all the answers about that. I think I alluded earlier. You know, Reform believers love theology so much, and they rightly should, and can be given to cerebral issues of thinking, studying, discussion. We love that. It stimulates our mind, and it obviously should get into our affections and our heart, the truth of it. But I simply think prayer meetings together are too difficult. They're too hard. They're too demanding on us to get real, to get humble, to get transparent. It's much easier to discuss Christianity in an appreciative way than to get down and pray. I just think that's the bottom line answer. But the only way to learn to pray is the old fiery preacher Leonard Raven, who used to say, the only way to learn to pray is to pray. And the only way churches are going to fulfill the biblical example and mandate to be houses of prayer is for them to pray. There's no shortcuts. So, Anthony, that's the best answer I could give, really. But, Chris, let me go back to something real briefly. You ended that break by talking a lot about recommending churches. Actually, the church in Portland, Maine, that actually hosts the conference is Redeeming Grace Fellowship of Portland. The Deering Center Community Church very graciously donates their building and their facilities for the conference. But Redeeming Grace Fellowship of Portland is the host church annually for the conference. And anyone in and around Portland, Maine, that wants to find a biblical Reformed church, Redeeming Grace Fellowship of Portland is there. They're a loving church family. They're passionate about the true gospel and Reformed truth. So, yes, I want to put in a plug for them. They're the host church of the conference.
Well, thank you, Anthony, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keep spreading the word about the program to your congregation in Patchogue and beyond. I don't want to break your stride there, but I think it's an important issue to ask, why is it so difficult for Christians, even those that are seasoned Christians on fire for the Lord, why is it so difficult for us to pray? What is it about praying that on the surface seems like a very easy thing to do? Why is it in actuality difficult? And of course, there are those who love praying for the wrong reasons. There are those who love almost to put on a theatrical performance when they pray to show off to everyone hearing them how eloquent and how pious they are. And in fact, that is even something that is condemned in the scriptures, that when people are praying publicly, especially, just to get the attention of others. But why is it for those who are praying for the right reasons and with the right motives, why is it so hard?
Well, again, it's a harder spiritual discipline. Think how easy it is to read good theology, to read biographies, to read and think and talk. How much we love to talk about ourselves or our views, our opinions. It's very easy for a group of young reformed guys, let's say, or young couples in a church. They love to fellowship. They love to talk about theology and the things of God and discuss the Bible. But it's altogether a spiritual discipline. It's harder to get down and actually pray. I don't know exactly fully why, but when you think about what real prayer is, we know we're on serious ground. We know we're praying to the living God. So if we're going to truly pray, we have to humble ourselves. We have to be real and transparent. We know our conscience tells us, I need to be right with the Lord, because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we have to be spiritually in tune and right to be able to truly pray. And I just think prayer is hard on the flesh. I mean, think, if you say, I want to have a good time of prayer, and you set aside even 30 minutes, 5 minutes into it, we're distracted. We're thinking about the day's activities. We're thinking about, oh, I didn't make my bed, or all kind of thoughts come to distract us from prayer. And so it really is, I think, the most difficult spiritual discipline that there is, probably.
Okay, we have...
That would be my answer.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, when we pray, are we changing God's mind? Are we turning him away from doing something that he was planning to do, but we stopped him in his tracks and reversed his decision by means of our prayer? It seems at times that when we read Old Testament accounts specifically, that is actually what is occurring.
Well, it's a deep question, a very theological question. And obviously we know God is immutable. He doesn't change. But we also know he has decreed and ordained prayer as a means of working in the earth, of working in the church, through the church. And so God initiates, he's commanded prayer, and we know he answers prayer. It was striking to me one time that every single time in the Old Testament where there was a wicked king or a wicked person or a good king that ended up messing up, every time they humbled themselves and cried out to God, God relented from doing what he was going to do. So I don't think it means we're changing God's mind. But Matthew Henry even said, when God purposes to do a reviving work, he sets his people to praying. And so I don't think we need to figure out the full theology of that. I think we know, you know, Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. We know categorically God has ordained prayer as a means of grace. We know categorically he's actually hearing us when we pray. 1 John says, this is a confidence we have in him, that if we're asking anything according to his will, he is hearing us. And if we know that he's hearing us, we know we have the petitions we desire of him. We also categorically know that God answers prayer. So many verses say that. O thou that hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come. So these foundational pillars in the Bible tell us God is a living God. He's ordained prayer. He's in covenant relationship with his people. He's commanded them and invited them to pray. We can come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. So I don't think we need to figure it out. We just believe God, that he's actually hearing us, and he's told us he will answer. Think of this. In the Upper Room Discourse, John 14-16, at least 8 times, I believe, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, ask, and I will answer. Ask, and the Father will be glorified. Ask that your joy may be full. So the marching orders in the upper room to the disciples were, the Holy Spirit's going to come and be in you and with you, and you're now not praying to me. You're going to pray to the Father in my name, and he will answer you. So I just think we don't need to rationalize away by theological philosophy those promises about answer to prayer. We just know the Bible reveals that we serve a prayer hearing and answering God who takes seriously the cries of his people together.
Okay, we have actually somebody in Maine with a question. John in Bangor, Maine says, let's see here, I just had the question right in front of me. Oh, here it is. I know that the text in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, is not talking about corporate prayer, but I was wondering if we are wrong in expecting God to answer prayer more powerfully when multiple people are praying. The reason why I say this is because, as you know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's the part of the verse that I'm wondering about. Are we wrong to expect greater and more clear and vivid and powerful answers to prayer because there are many people speaking to God?
Well, I would try to give a simple brief. There's a uniqueness to the people of God gathered together praying. God hears the cries of his children when they're alone in the closet. We know that. But when his children are gathered together, like 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. When a body of believers, a church, is united in agreement in prayer, there's something very special about that because it represents the church at prayer, be it a local church. So, God doesn't hear us for the multitude of our words or vain repetitions, but Luke 11 and Luke 18 teach importunate prayer, to continue to ask very clearly. And even there, where the Lord said there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. It's present tense importunity. So that's not vain repetition to keep asking. Vain repetition would be empty, mechanical, ritualistic, ritual praying.
Like the Roman Catholic Church is very well known.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Well, thank you, John. And remember, I don't know how far Bangor, Maine is from Portland, Maine, but can't be that far of a drive. Why don't you keep somewhere on file or perhaps tack to your refrigerator or something the website fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, and maybe we'll see you there in August for that conference. Just one more question from an audience member before you continue. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, could it be that one reason that makes corporate prayer valuable is that there are some among us more righteous than others? And in James, obviously, in chapter 5, verse 16, we are instructed, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Scripture says, and I quoted earlier, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But every true Christian who's been cleansed by the blood of Christ, justified by God's grace, is in right standing with God in their justification. Then we're to walk in holiness and a love relationship with Christ. So every Christian is a righteous person. And so I'm not sure if James is speaking about progressive righteousness, where a holy man, a godlier man than I, has more praying ground. I don't think so. I think he's just talking about true Christians that are living for the Lord. The fervent and effectual prayers of any righteous person are very effective. They avail much.
Well, are our prayers hindered or thwarted in some way when we are in a state of being backslidden?
Well, I would certainly believe that's the case. Again, if I regard or hold on to iniquity in my heart, my life, the Lord, I'm not on praying ground. Prayer is relational. And so I must, 1 Corinthians 7, I think it says, or is it 2 Corinthians, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so, unconfessed, unrepented of sin in the life of a believer will hinder answered prayer, because the first thing that has to be dealt with is the sin. And because a conscience of a Christian will be hindered by their, because they know they're praying to their Father, and the sin has affected the relationship. So the sin must be dealt with before we, with confidence, are on praying ground.
Well, I want you to now continue on the train of thought that you'd like to pursue before we take our final break, which will be a shorter break than the others, but if you could continue for several minutes at least. And while you're looking for your place, I'm going to repeat our email address, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, if you'd like to send in a question. And give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Okay, Mac, are you ready?
Very good, yes. Shall I go ahead?
Yes.
All right. So perhaps in this final few minutes we can just get real down to the nuts and bolts and the practical thinking about this. There's pastors or church leaders out there that have a prayer meeting, but it kind of seems dead or lifeless. They kind of don't know what to do. Or churches or leaders that truly believe it's biblical that churches should be praying together, but they have no prayer meeting. Let's just think about that a little bit. Let's talk about what constitutes a true prayer meeting. I do not think a pastoral prayer, however good it is, on the Lord's Day or Sabbath morning service, where a pastor, a man of God, leads in a pastoral prayer, that's not a prayer meeting. A church prayer meeting is only when believers are praying together. What some churches call a prayer meeting is perhaps a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or whenever, Saturday night. They might have a 45-minute sermon or Bible study, and then they have perhaps 20 minutes of prayer request that normally consist of things like, please pray for Uncle Bill's bursitis, it's really hurting him, or pray for my Aunt Millie's backache, or my granddad is going in for some medical tests, or my neighbor's being rude to me, I'm just discouraged, pray for me. We pray for these smaller things that are important to us, but they're not urgent prayers. They're not kingdom-type prayers. They're not coronavirus atmosphere-type prayers. So then, after the 45-minute Bible study, the 20-minute of prayer request, then there's often 5 minutes of the pastor praying for those things, and nobody else prays because they're not allowed or they don't know how to pray out loud. That's not a church prayer meeting. So if pastors view prayer is important, how can we preach on prayer to the church and its importance if we don't even have a prayer meeting or we're not trying to reform that area?
In fact, now we have to go to our final break, which will be much more brief. And the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with the conclusion of our discussion with Pastor Mac Tomlinson on corporate prayer right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Romaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Welcome back. And we do have a question from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, that I think would be ideal to clarify something that you said before the break, Pastor Mac.
Sure.
He says, it is common to hear from Reformed pastors especially that we should not dominate our prayer meetings with prayer about healing. But sometimes I think we can go overboard with that and we play into the hands of our charismatic and Pentecostal friends who make the accusation that we downplay God's power to heal in this present day. And I think that they may be right in some occasions. Can you please respond with your own thoughts on this?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think he's truly right. You know, Reformed Christians and churches should not be reactionary wrongly to Pentecostalism. Let me give you a couple of examples. You know, I want to spend some time briefly here in a moment giving testimony about God's grace and how he's helped our church to pray over the years. But 7 years ago, we began praying. A dear family in our church, the lady's nephew, Logan, a two-year-old boy who lived an hour from us, had serious cancer. It looked terminal. I don't remember all the details, but it's very serious. And our church began to weekly pray for Logan. Every prayer meeting, we would pray for him fervently. Now, did we know that the secret will of God? Did we know the eternal decree about Logan? No. But we don't have to pray. We're told to pray. We're told to cry out to God. We're told that he'll do mighty things, things we hadn't thought about. And so we prayed weekly for Logan for, I know, probably a year. And he came out of it, and now he's a healthy 9-year-old boy. That was 7 years ago, and it looked like he was going to die. So I believe firmly we should pray for healing. and leave the results to God. God has the wisdom to know, obviously, how to answer prayers for healing. Does he heal everybody? No. But he will heal if we pray. So we can ask in faith and leave it to the wisdom of our God how he's going to answer prayers for healing.
In fact, a prayer for healing that was answered by a friend of mine who I have not heard from in many years, but he was, I believe, the very first successful liver transplant. And he recalled an incident at a prayer meeting at the Pentecostal church where he was a member, and he couldn't believe his ears because he was facing a possible and even probable death due to his serious liver disease that he had. And after bringing this up in prayer meeting, that the Lord would spare him and heal him and give him a successful surgery, someone dared to pray that their swimming pool filter would be repaired. That's pretty. I don't even know how to describe somebody that would come up with that kind of a prayer after hearing somebody basically pleading for their life to the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Just one quick question before you go on. The book of James instructs elders to do something that seems to be lacking greatly in Reformed churches today, and that's the laying on of hands, the anointing with oil and so on. If you could just quickly respond to that.
Yes, well, we do that when it's requested. James says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Let them pray, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. I do believe it's not just symbolic. It's right. But the oil is symbolic of the grace and the presence of God. Why James says to anoint them with oil is simply the fact that oil is a biblical picture of grace and of the Holy Spirit. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, etc. So we do that in our church if we're asked by someone who's sick. And it's not, you know, a sore toe. It's something that's serious. It's life-threatening. It's a serious matter. If they ask us to pray for them and anoint them, we do right in the service. Our elders will gather and anoint them and pray for them because we take that passage in James seriously.
Well, Mac, I want you to have the rest of the program uninterrupted to really have etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners what you most want them to remember about corporate prayer today.
Well, I just want to kind of give a testimony, a brief one. I'll be brief as possible because I want this to encourage pastors or elders out there who would like to see their church be more of a praying church. They don't know where to start. They don't know exactly how to implement that. Our church, Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, is an imperfect church, a growing church, a loving church, where the prayer meetings are real and they truly are spiritually vibrant. For 20 years in our church, the other founding elder, Philip Neely, and I, who founded Providence Chapel, now we have four other wonderful elders and me. Our prayer meeting has been a priority in the church. A typical prayer meeting is we sing a couple of hymns. We instruct briefly with a word of exhortation or encouragement. Often we'll teach at our Sunday school hour at different times. We'll teach on what it means to pray together publicly to help believers who are too timid to pray or afraid to learn to take baby steps. Because once Christians who want to pray out loud in a prayer meeting, they break the ice and they pray something simple because others are praying. they break through. It gives them confidence that they can pray, that nobody's going to judge their prayers. So so we sing a couple of hymns in any prayer meeting we have. Then we take urgent, important spiritual prayer requests. But we only allow brief time for prayer requests. We don't need the details. We just want an important prayer request, somebody's health that's very serious, a kingdom-minded prayer, prayer for other churches, prayer for missions, prayer for lost family members, lost relatives or neighbors. Specific prayers, not prayers like, Lord, bless your church and save the lost, but not general prayers, but targeting real needs. That's how we do our prayer meetings. So we'll sing briefly, we'll share briefly, 5 or 10 minutes quickly, of important prayer requests, and then we pray. In our prayer meetings, we have 3 a week. Normally, when the church is meeting together, we have 3 prayer meetings every Wednesday as the saints are gathered under the leadership of one of our elders in a prayer meeting. But now we're praying by Zoom with 5 prayer meetings, and we pray 45 to 60 minutes regularly, just consistently. An elder will start the prayer time, and then someone else will pray, and then they'll stop, and someone else will pray one after another. Brief, targeted prayers. Now, believers need to remember that praying in a prayer meeting is not time for your private devotions. People can start praying too long and about self. And I think Spurgeon said one time there was a brother who started praying. When he began to pray, we were praying with him. The longer he prayed, we began to pray for him. And then finally, we were praying against him that he'd stop. So, self-centeredness can quench the spirit of a prayer meeting. So we don't do our private devotions there. But, Chris, we've seen over 20 years, now we're approaching probably 1,000 prayer meetings in our church over the past 20 years, because we've had one every week. And we've seen hundreds of answers to prayer. I mentioned Logan, the young boy. One of our elders' mother-in-law was in 4-stage bone cancer, and we prayed for her for 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, every week. Why? Because we knew God was going to heal her? No, because we loved her, and because the church... Christ calls his people to cry out to him and pray. So we prayed for her close to a year, and she went into remission. She showed up at our church on Sunday morning. She wasn't a member of our church. She showed up. She looked so healthy, I didn't even recognize her, but I'd known her for years. And in tears, she stood and shared with our congregation how much gratitude she had to the Lord for our prayers. So, now, the encouraging things in our church is young people who are 10, 14, 16, they now have grown with confidence to pray out loud in the prayer meetings with respect, in order, with humility, and sometimes with real tears. Now, Spurgeon said the prayer meeting should be the boiler room of the church, and Spurgeon had several hundred on Sunday mornings in the basement of the tabernacle in prayer while he preached. Now, in closing, there's pastors out there who are discouraged about prayer, and I'm available to encourage any of them if they want to reach out to me. I don't have all the answers, but we have vital, real prayer meetings, and God can give a spirit of prayer as you just begin to do it 2 at a time, 3 at a time. The Holy Spirit will create true prayer meetings.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Mack. And by the way, folks, Pastor Mack will be returning tomorrow. That's Wednesday, the 29th of April. And this time we're going to be discussing loving pastoral care. So make sure you tune in tomorrow again to hear more of the biblical wisdom of my dear friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. And once again, the website for that congregation is providencedenton.org, providencedenton.org. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.